Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports webcast and podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. The webcast coming to you at about 11 a.m. every Wednesday. The podcast dropping later in the day. You can find it in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined this week by prep reporter Blake Morgan. Gene Phelps is, I believe, out on assignment or something, but Blake's in here to fill in. And Blake, how are you doing?
Doing well. Glad to be here.
Feel good? You got week one of high school football under your belt now?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, now it's smooth sailing, right?
Sure. It gets easier, Blake.
Yeah.
Every week it gets easier. Trust me. I did this before. It's fine.
Yeah.
You're golden.
No, nowhere else to go, but
well, you could say that. Week one is in the books. We'll talk about that. Some of the key games, key results that we saw last weekend. And we'll also look ahead to this week's game. Some big games coming up certainly this week. A lot of cool non-division matchups this early in the season. Always nice to see. And so we'll look at some of those. And we're bringing back the Athletes of the Week feature. Of course, we did that all last school year as well. We pick a female and a male athlete of the week to honor them for their accomplishments on the playing fields. And now that softball and football are back in session, we can do that. So we got all that coming for you today on the episode. I need to remind you to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. And again, you can find us in iTunes or any of your podcast apps like Stitcher, Player.fm. We're in Google Play, I believe. And of course, you can stream it at PrepRally.DJournal.com. Okay. I think that covers all the plugs. Let's just get right into week one of high school football, Blake. Had a lot of big games. We were all over the region covering these games. We want to look at just a handful. We can't look at them all. It's a lot of scores to go through. We do want to look at a handful of key games, that including a couple that you saw, because you got to cover two games because of that Thursday night game. But first, let's look at the game that Gene Phelps was at, Tupelo hosting Clarksdale. Clarksdale, normally a pretty strong program, a little bit down last year. But always a tough team to deal with. But Tupelo pulled out the win 20-6. And I don't know if Tupelo has answered its quarterback question, but Ray Sandroni, the senior, certainly made his case on Friday night.
Yeah, and I mean, it was to the point leading up to it where, you know, Gene covers them pretty much as a beat of its own.
Right.
And I mean, he goes to the practices and whatnot, and he was telling me before the game that he thought it'd be the sophomore.
The McGlon, is it?
Yeah, McGlon. Yeah, yeah. Stefan McGlon.
Yeah, yeah.
Thought that it was going to be him. And but they went with the senior Sandroni just to start the year. And he really played well. He went 15-21, 133 yards, and had three touchdowns. And
led three scoring drives. I think they were all rushing touchdowns by the running backs. But he did lead.
Yeah, directed three touchdown drives.
Right. But yeah, he did a great job with the offense.
Yeah. And to the point where Gene was saying that they threw McGlon out there for one drive because Sandroni was a little dinged up or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were scared to put the sophomore out there because Sandroni was doing so well.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a senior who's performing. I mean, McGlon, I hear from everything Gene has said, you know, he's a big kid, got good size, can run, really talented. But he's probably, as a sophomore, going to be a little bit raw. And you know, the senior's probably going to have a little better composure, especially this early in the season. So I imagine that would be kind of the typical reasoning for putting Sandroni out there. And you know, certainly rewarded the coach's faith. But I'm sure we'll see McGlon worked in there.
I'm from what Gene has been saying, it certainly doesn't seem like the controversy is like completely over, but it looks like Sandroni's bought himself the playing time. And so, certainly, you know, now it comes down to will he keep rewarding the coach's faith, as you said.
Yeah, certainly. I'm sure it's not completely decided, but Sandroni certainly doing a good job. His first time out in that 20-6 win against Clarksdale, I think it was Dante Freeman had two touchdown rushes for the Golden Wave in that win. So the Wave off to a good start at 1-0. Game you were at on Friday night, Blake, you had Baldwin against Morville. Two schools separated by just a few miles, and Baldwin behind a strong passing attack, a 42-15 win. Not a surprising result, really.
No, and we've talked a lot about John Keith and being Morville's first head coach, and he's talked a lot in the preseason about how they're real young, and they're still trying to find themselves, and it's kind of what it showed. And on Friday night, Baldwin looked really good, though.
Had a good passing attack, didn't they?
Yeah, they got two wide receivers on the outside, Calvin Harris and Felix Hayes. And Felix Hayes is a really great basketball player as well.
Yeah.
And, I mean, John Sweeney's the quarterback, and he does a really great job of getting the ball up to him.
Yep.
And, I mean, when you're just more physically athletic on the outside, and, I mean, they just go up and, I mean, Calvin Harris, I mean, he scored two touchdowns on both of them. He just jumped over the defender, snatched the ball out of the air, and the defender fell to the ground, and Harris walked into the end zone.
Makes your job easier as a quarterback. Look at the stats. Sweeney only completed 6 of 13, but 161 yards. That's a pretty good average.
Pretty good average. And three were touchdowns,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, three
only
were touchdowns.
Completed six. And
that's efficiency right there, my friend.
Yes.
Yeah, certainly. And by the way, for y'all watching, this is Saturday sports section I'm looking at and rustling around here. Sorry for the extra noise and distraction, but looking at all our coverage here in the Daily Journal. So Baldwin off to a good start there with the big win over Morville. And then another game you were at back on Thursday, actually it was Hamilton and South Pontotoc kicked off the season in the region with a game at South Pontotoc. And the Cougars rolled. They scored, 34 points in the first quarter? It was over pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean,
you're writing your game story by the second quarter.
Yeah, those are real easy to write because you know what's going to happen. It was just South Pontotoc was just more overwhelming. I mean, South Pontotoc, I didn't put it in, but I mean, their starting field position was like the 27 of Hamilton.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, Their stats weren't all that impressive because they were just going 20 yards to score every touchdown.
So their defense did a good job.
Yeah, defense did a really great job. In both games that I saw for the teams that really won, I mean, Baldwin, like, I think they gave up like 10 yards rushing. It was like something like that.
Wow.
That was all in the JV. Like the starting team.
Yeah, yeah.
The starters gave up like, it was like negative 18 yards before the starters got pulled for Baldwin. And South Pontotoc, I mean, the starters were pulled in the first quarter.
Wow. So you got to go see two blowouts your first week.
Two big blowouts. It's fun seeing points, though.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun. Well, maybe this week you'll get a better game, Blake.
Absolutely.
I don't know where you're going to be, but I do know I've got three games here that I want us to look at in particular. Of course, Gene, I'm sure, will be at this one. Let's look at some key games coming up this weekend. Corinth at Tupelo, always a fun matchup. You got Corinth from 4A up there, Tupelo in 6A, ranked number 3 in our large school rankings. Corinth off to a good start, 1-0. They beat the wheels off Aberdeen, didn't they?
Absolutely.
35-6.
35-6.
Yeah, and then of course Tupelo with the win over Clarksdale. So that one's going to be at Tupelo. Corinth, of course, with the new head coach there, and they've had a good thing going over the years. They're pretty one of the more consistent programs. In the area, and so this will be a good test for Tupelo, and we'll continue to keep an eye on that quarterback race and see if Corinth can do anything to kind of throw that off course. But that'll be, again, at THS, Corinth, the Tupelo. Good. Just one of those fun area non-division cross-classification matchups right there. So that's one game to watch. Another one, more on the fringes of our coverage area, but two of the better teams, two of the better programs. Starkville, our number 1 ranked large school, coming off a season opening win, will take on Oxford, also 1-0. Now, Oxford's lost a lot of people. We've talked about that. DK Metcalf, Jack Abraham, a lot of good players are off that team. They're not ranked in the journal rankings. We just do the top 5 large and small schools. But, with new coach and some players lost, Oxford's going to be a tough out. And this game's going to be in Oxford. As I recall, last year's game in Starkville was broadcast on one of the ESPN networks. That was a huge game last year. And, of course, Oxford, just came within inches of winning the state title in 5A. Starkville won the 6A title. So you got two pretty heavyweight programs going at it here, Blake.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And like we've talked about before, Oxford, they've lost a lot, and including their coach, Chris Cutcliffe, won his first game as coach last week, 26-20. They trying to find all the different guys to step up. The defense played pretty well. They only gave up the defense only gave up one touchdown. Now, two of the touchdowns Oxford gave up were pick sixes, which you don't want to see, but at least on a defensive end, that's, you know, you only gave up one touchdown. So, I mean, I don't know. Starkville comes in, they're number one in our ranking. So, I mean, you would say that they're pretty much the favorite. And Ricky Woods is a proven very good head coach. Chris Cutcliffe still, we don't really know. And yeah. I think this will go a long way to determine how good that Oxford team is how far along that they've come.
Yeah, no doubt.
Under Cutcliffe.
Yeah, that'll be a good early test and good barometer for the Chargers and for Starkville, too, in my opinion. And another game, it's the Skunk Bowl, Blake. I don't know if you're familiar with this, being the new guy. The Skunk Bowl, it's Boonville against Baldwin. This game is at Baldwin this year. A little history, back in 2012, this game was being played. It's an early season game normally. Again, it's a couple of Prentice County teams in different classifications, but they're rivals. You know, and back in 2012, it was a really good game. Boonville came back to win 28-27, but that game was really more notable for the fact that a skunk cleared the Baldwin sideline. Somehow, skunk got loose on the field, and then it got over there where the Baldwin players and coaches were. And so had a bit of an incident there where they had to kind of clear out because you don't want to get close to one of those things.
No, not at all.
No. So now it's since been known as the Skunk Bowl.
Skunk Bowl, and there's actually, Gene's told me that there's a trophy.
A trophy.
And I'm going to be there. That's where I'm going Friday to see this game. So hopefully no skunks then.
So that's where you're
going
to be.
That's where I'll be Friday. Well, I'm going to Baldwin this afternoon to go see the Skunk Bowl trophy and talk to the coaches because that's going to be while Starkville Oxford is a really big game of the week. It's kind of on the fringe. We're going to make Baldwin Boonville our game of the week.
Cool.
In the coverage area. So I'll be writing about, you know, previewing that game for Friday. And I got off the phone with Boonville's head coach right before we got on here. And, you know, he was saying that this is the best Baldwin team he's seen.
Really?
Yeah.
They've had some good ones, too.
Yeah. He said they're just outstanding all over the place. And he had nothing but great things to say about this Baldwin team, which, you know, I saw this Baldwin team in their jamboree. I saw them last week, and I'm seeing them this week. That,
yeah,
they really are really good. And, you know, Boonville had a pretty good win last week as well against Walnut, stopping Montario Hunt's return from being ultimately successful.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said that they did really well, you know, keying on a great athlete in Montario Hunt. But he said it's tough because you can't really key on any specific player for Baldwin because they got athletes all over the field.
Yeah, they do. They certainly do. So, look for the Skunk Bowl coverage there from Blake this weekend. Any other games of note we want to just mention in passing before we move on?
Hey, Saltillo Amory's coming out. It's a local game. Neither team is quite where they want to be yet, but I don't know. Of local interest, Alan Glenn lost his first game as head coach, but, you know, he, a former Tupelo High offensive coordinator, he certainly thinks his team's making strides in the right direction.
Yeah. And you got Shannon at Nettleton. They'll be a good local match.
Yeah. Ken Topps returned. He was a Shannon
quarterback
and is now the head coach in Nettleton and
faces old team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good deal. You got North Pontotoc at Ripley. I'm not quite sure what Ripley's got this year, but I know they got shut out by Itawamba last week, but North Pontotoc with that comeback win against Saltillo last week to start things off. Itawamba AHS at New Albany, that could be a good one. Both teams 1-0 there. Oh, what else we got, Blake? Of course, we've got Tisch County at Alcorn Central. I mean, hey, Alcorn won its first game. They don't always have the best seasons, but 1-0 is 1-0. And this Benton County team, they moved into our rankings this week. They're hosting West Tallahatchie. That's one of those, I think we've talked about them before. It's one of those small school teams to keep an eye on.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Small, so, you know, they don't necessarily get as much attention as the larger schools, or at least isn't as known.
Right.
And, yeah, it's a team that we talked about. They could sneak up and be really well, really good this year.
Yeah, no doubt. So, anyway, this is just a few of the games. We'll have full preview coverage along with the schedule and preview capsules in Friday's journal. Look for the high school page that we have every Friday in your journal. Okay. Let's bring back the athletes of the week. We do this when the school is in session and sports are in session. Now we got softball and football going, so we can do a female and a male athlete of the week, just recognizing two athletes who've excelled on the playing fields in the past week. So let's start with the female athlete of the week. It's a familiar name.
Haley Donald. And she helped lead Moorville over Neshoba Central to a 14-4 win. She had two home runs and six RBIs, and that was impressive for two different reasons. One, Neshoba Central is really great.
Yeah, that's a good program.
Yeah, just really, really solid. They won the 5-6A state championship last year, and they'll be right in the middle of the thick of it again this year.
Yeah, and Hallie Donald, she was our player of the year in fast pitch this past year, just this past spring. So, Hallie Donald, you're a female athlete of the week. Male athlete of the week.
Male athlete of the week. Tupelo outside linebacker Peter Gray is 6'4", 230 pounds, and Gene said he just is an animal on the field. He transferred in from somewhere in Georgia. His brother plays for Mercer right now.
Okay.
And Gene just said, I mean, he was just everywhere. He had five tackles, five quarterback hurries, an interception, a sack, and a caused fumble, which was recovered and led to the clinching touchdown in the 20-6 victory over Clarksdale.
Right.
Gene said he's just an animal in everywhere. And
so, hey, good pickup there for Tupelo.
Yeah, expect big things from him this year.
Okay, Peter Gray of Tupelo, you're a male athlete of the week. So congrats to Hallie and Peter on being honored. And we'll do this every week for the next several months until baseball season's over.
Yeah.
So good job. And that's it for today's episode of Prep Rally. Again, it's a webcast and a podcast. So if you're watching this but just want to listen to the podcast later on, find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. If you're listening to the podcast, want to go back and watch the webcast, catch it at djournal.com, coming to you about 11 a.m. every Wednesday. Be sure to check out a couple of the other podcasts we have as well, The Memo with myself and W. Derek Russell, every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Going to have a new episode today. Actually, Lauren Wood co-hosted today. Derek was out, so look for that in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at memo.djournal.com. And for you Ole Miss and MSU fans, we've got double coverage with Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry every Thursday, talking about the Rebels and the Bulldogs, again, in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Give the show here a follow on Twitter, at @djournalpreps. You can follow me on Twitter, at Brad Locke, and Blake is on Twitter, at Blake Morgan DJ. That's it for this week. We'll be back next Wednesday. So until then, hope you get out there and enjoy some football or some softball this week. Have a good one.